يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on in our exegesis, the commentary of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter number 62 of the Noble Quran. And in our discussion today, we want to focus on three specific verses, verses number 6, 7, and 8. And to see what Allah has in store for us in the verses under discussion today. Before we begin, let us listen to the Arabic recitation, followed by the English translation, and then we will delve into the commentary of these particular verses.
قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Say, O Jews, if you claim that you are God's favorites to the exclusion of other people, then long for death, should you be truthful. This is a claim that not only the Jews made at the time of the Prophet, but continue to make. And not only the Jews, but even those who profess Christianity today, and at the time when the faith of Prophet Jesus was being taught to the society that they also held. And even we don't limit it to these two dispensations, these two religions or traditions. But rather we see in the world today that every single religion, whatever they claim to follow, whatever they claim to believe, all of them, without exception, they believe that they are the chosen people, that they are the saved nation, and that all other nations are doomed to perdition, are doomed to be relegated to the fires of hell if they do not follow what that particular ideology or religion claims. And when we look in the Quran, we see that Allah has spoken about this in numerous verses of the Quran. For example, we see the following passage. In chapter 5, verse 18, Allah says, "And the Jews and the Christians say that we are the spiritual children of Allah and His beloved." In addition, in chapter 2, verse 111, Allah says, "And they say, none shall enter into paradise unless they are Jews or Christians. Indeed, those are their mere false hopes. Say, produce your evidence, should you be truthful." So here we see that the Quran is refuting the claims of those religions that came before Islam, namely Judaism and Christianity, where they claimed, and they falsely claimed, that they were the chosen ones, that they were the saved nation, that you could not attain salvation to God except through one of these two ideologies. And again, when we look at the world today, we see many other religions also claiming the same. And even within Islam, we can say that people believe that Islam is the only way to salvation. And although this is a very deep theological and philosophical discussion on what is the path of true salvation, we understand from the Quranic understanding, Quranic principle of life, that all previous religions that came served a purpose. The people who followed those traditions at their time were guaranteed salvation as long as they based their life on the teachings of that particular prophet and the scripture which he would have revealed. But we believe that with the passing of time and with the coming of subsequent prophets, the previous religions, the previous teachings were in a sense abrogated, or they were built upon by the next coming prophet. And so when we look at the chain of prophethood, we see that after Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, that there was a period of about 600 years in which there were no prophets sent to humanity, at least that we know about. And once the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings upon him and his family, came about, then we believe that all who were able to hear and listen and accept the message, that they were the people who were what we would call those who were working their way towards salvation. Even within the religion of Islam, we have debates and discussions of what is the saved sect. Because as we know, Islam has broken up into many fragments, many different divisions. And even within Islam, we have a discussion which of these multiple groups that are around the world today are those who are truly following the Quran, the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and which are that nation that will actually make it to salvation in the next world. Because it's a long theological discussion and we don't really want to go into that discussion here today in this series of lectures, we will leave it up to the viewers to look into the literature which is available. But we do want to end with a quotation from a book which was published many years ago called Islam and Religious Pluralism, which was authored by the late Ayatollah Shahid Murtada Mutahhari. And in this work, he tackles this very discussion that we are looking at today. He looks at this area of what is the true saved religion. Is Islam the only true path to salvation? Does that mean that all other religions are null and void, that they're, you know, their followers are going to go into the fire of hell? We would encourage the readers to read this book. It's available online for free reading on alislam.org, and the link will be made available in the comment section. But just to give you one quotation from the introduction of this book and what the person who has written the introduction has conveyed about this belief of religious pluralism, or what is the true saved religion. And in the introduction, he mentions the following. "I would like to reiterate the caution that believing in Islam as the only valid path of submission to God does not automatically and necessarily lead to the belief that all non-Muslims will go to hell. Neither does this exclusivist view of Islam as the only sirat al-mustaqim, the only straight path, prevent us from promoting tolerance and peaceful coexistence among the followers of various religions, especially the Jews and the Christians. Thus, a Muslim has to resist the un-Islamic influence of non-Muslims, but still be kind to them. In other words, although your paths in the hereafter will be separate, this does not prevent you from being kind, merciful, and just to non-Muslims in this world." From here, Allah brings forth another verse about the same theme, which was in verse number 6, and he says the following. Again, let us listen to the Arabic recitation, and then we will follow up with the English translation and the commentary.
وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ
Yet they will never long for it, for death, because of what their hands have sent ahead. And God knows best the wrongdoers. Here in this verse, Allah is showing us that there are people, not only within the Jewish tradition, as this verse is speaking about, but also within all groups of humanity, whatever religion they follow, or even if they claim to not follow any ideology or any religion. Allah tells us that these individuals will never long for the meeting of Allah, to meet God. They will not long for death. They will not be ready for death. And that rather we will try at every moment of our lives to escape, to flee, to run away from this eventual outcome that every single creation on the face of this earth will eventually have to come face to face with. And so the question comes up that why do people feel so frightened, so apprehensive, so concerned about death, about dying, about what is to come? And the traditions tell us, and the scholars who have commented on this verse of the Quran give us two specific reasons why people tend to fear death, why we tend to fear what comes after the life of this world. And the first reason we're told is that sometimes people do not believe in the life after this world. And this world, this life, this existence of 50, 60, 70, 80 years is everything to such individuals. They don't believe in a life after. They don't believe in a retribution or a remuneration or any kind of benefit that will come after this world. And so they don't want to leave this world. They want to remain in here as long as they can to enjoy the blessings, the pleasures, the, you know, all of the fun within this world. So that's the first reason why many people don't believe in the next world. They don't want to look forward to something else because they believe that this is the end all and be all. The second reason that we're given is that those people who do not want to meet their Creator, they do so because of the fact that they have not performed enough good actions. They haven't done anything that would really warrant them to be welcomed into the gates of paradise, to be welcomed into paradise itself, and to really partake of the bounties and blessings of the Creator. And so therefore we see that these are two of the reasons, of probably multiple reasons, why people don't want to experience death. They don't want to go to the other side, so to speak. In verse number 8, as we round off this discussion in this particular section of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah gives us the following warning, the following threat, so to speak. And he says in this passage, and again, let us listen to the Arabic first, the English translation, and then we will go into the brief commentary of this verse of Surah Al-Jumu'ah.
قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
Say, indeed the death that you flee will indeed encounter you. Then you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the seen, and he will inform you about what you used to do. So here Allah gives us one of the rationale behind why many people are afraid of death, why they don't desire or long for death, why we don't look forward to leaving this world. And then Allah tells us, God tells us that many people fear going to the next world because of the evil that they themselves have done, the sins that they have performed, the corruption that they have been engaged in, the moral vices, the insults, the attacks, the oppression against fellow human beings. And because of all of this evil that people themselves are doing, that they themselves are performing, that they themselves are enacting, that they don't want to make it to Allah because they fear what is going to happen when they make it to Allah and to the afterlife. And so as Allah says that because of this fear, and because Allah is the knower of the unseen and the seen, and that He will inform us and He will give us our retribution on the day of accounting, it is because of this reason that we don't want to make it towards Allah. This is a topic which obviously needs a lot of discussion. It is a very deep topic from the point of view of the verses of the Quran. There are so many traditions of the Prophet and the infallible Imams which speak about death, about dying, about ensuring our actions are in sync with our religion, about performing righteous good deeds to all of humanity, to all of the creations of Allah. We just end our discussion with a few short traditions from the family of the Prophet. The first tradition tells us the following. The transient world is the prison for the true believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. We see that this tradition actually gives us a glimpse into how we as believers, as Muslims, as those who are submitting to the orders of God, should actually look at the life of this temporal world, that we should envision it to be a prison. And we know that a prison, you know, our time spent in a prison is of different length and duration, but eventually there will be some form of release from a penal institution. And so the hadith tells us that this world is as a prison for the believer, that we are enchained in it, but we need to continue living and fulfilling our obligations. But it says it is as a paradise for the disbeliever, meaning that there are no limits, no borders, no boundaries to what a disbeliever can do. If they don't have a firm ethical moral compass, then they will really do whatever it is they want to do with and the understanding that obviously that they believe that there is no afterlife, there is no need to really care in certain cases for other people because it is all about the self. And so the tradition tells us that this life is a prison for the believer and a paradise for those who disbelieve. We end with one last tradition from the family of the Prophet, and this is actually the words of a very famous companion, a very famous associate of the Prophet and many of the early Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon them, whose name was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And he has a beautiful statement which reads the following. He says, it was once asked of Abu Dharr why people hate death, and he replied in the following way. He says that you hate death because of the fact that you have built up the life of this world and you have ruined the life of the next world. So therefore, you don't like to transfer from that which has been constructed to that which has been ruined. So he really breaks it down and he shows us that one of the reasons why people hate or loathe or fear death is because we have taken so much time to build the life of this world, our mansions, our beautiful homes on the beach, our beautiful cars, our luxurious lifestyle, our vacations to exotic destinations. But he says we haven't built up the life of the next world. We haven't done our obligations to God. We haven't done the prayers, the fasting, the charity, the pilgrimage to Mecca, the ziyarat of the 14 infallibles, visiting the graves of the infallibles. We haven't been good to our family, to our neighbors, to all of these things which Islam has so stressed upon. And because we haven't done these actions, we haven't built our home in the next world. And because we haven't built our home in the next world, we don't want to go from this world, which is so beautifully constructed and ornate and elaborate and decorated, to something which is a ruins, a shambles, because we haven't built that world. And so Abu Dharr really shows us in clear reality why many people fear death. It's because we haven't done enough to gain our outcome in the next world. And so as we continue in our discussion of Surah Al-Jumma, let us do our best as believers, as human beings, to make every opportunity that we have alive to be those who can actually build the world of the next through the life of this world. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.